magical deck of cards for horror trivia.
Someone gave it to one of the girls for their birthday or some shit. One of those things where it's like, whoever has the most cards wins.
Whoever has the most cards, or you get a card after you guess the question right?
You know what? There's no dice. There's no game board. It's literally just trivia cards. And I did not even look at the fucking directions. To avoid becoming a casualty, you must answer multiple questions correctly and collect... Oh, each card has a little weapon in the corner, and you have to collect them to use the weapon, just collecting, answering the questions.
But what do you do with the weapons? I don't understand. How do the weapons help? Is it a game where you're trying to fight a slasher villain or something?
No, there's not even a fun story like that. It's literally, when all players are ready, the reader draws the top card and reads the first question ahead, or aloud. The player or team in play gets one guess to answer correctly. If the answer is incorrect, the turn is over, and the game continues with the next player or team, and a new card is drawn. Should the player or team answer correctly, then they get asked the second question. Should the player answer both questions correctly, they win that card until one player or team has collected three different weapons cards. So you just have to get three cards with different symbols on them.
And then you win?
The player team has survived to star in the sequel. Congratulations.
So you get three cards and you win.
Well, it has to be three different symbol cards.
Oh, okay.
So there's like an axe and a crucifix and a fucking chainsaw and a crossbow and a machete. So if you get two machetes, that don't count. But you also have to answer both questions correctly.
So are those the rules you want to go by, or are you just going to ask questions?
I was actually just going to handpick some of them to ask you, because some of them are super easy. Like in the movie Maniac, what body part taken from victims did the murderer nail to mannequins?
Scalp, yeah.
What Wayans Brother parody series used the title Wes Craven initially wanted for Scream?
Scary movie. Oh, it's Don't Be a Menace to South Central While Drinking Your Juice in the Hood. That's what it was.
I'm pretty sure that's accurate. No, but there were some of them that were a little more obscure that I thought you would still probably know, but also might not everyone would know.
You can't assume that. I mean, a lot of dumb horror shit, but it doesn't mean unless
you don't know all Savant. Of it. How do the aliens plan to conquer the planet in Plan 9 from Outer Space?
So Plan 9 is the resurrection of the recent dead.
What's the name of the girl who's possessed in The Exorcist?
Reagan McNeil.
Yeah.
If you want to ask these questions, it's fine. Don't just give them away now.
Yeah, these were just the ones I was grabbing. There's some of them, let me put it this way, there's some that I didn't know. What's written on the mirror in The Shining?
Oh.
Like red rum. Actually, it says on the door.
No, it's not a door.
That's not right.
He sees it in the mirror. It's on the door.
He sees it in the mirror, and the door is behind him.
It's written on the door. He sees the reflection in the mirror.
But he sees the reflection.
So it says murder.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Couldn't remember if it was written on the mirror or on the door.
No, it's written on the door because you have to see the reflection in the mirror.
You'd have to see the reflection backwards for it to be spelled right.
But you need to decide on a number of questions so it doesn't just go on.
20 questions.
Okay. What is this? What do you say? Who fucking cares? It's Trapo. Welcome to Trapo. Dear listener, welcome to Trapo. It's a special episode of Trapo. The episode you're probably never hear. I'm Dustin, he's Kai, and we're going to do a quiz. It's a quiz. I know, he's thinking, quiz? What are those four letters? Quiz, like questionnaire. People ask questions, people answer questions. It's a tale as old as time. Kai has a series of questions that he has set for me to answer. You know, fuck it, you can take it from there. I'm drunk, just say shit.
Get a little horror movie trivia quiz going on here. Dustin has watched nearly every horror movie ever made. Not actually, but a lot.
No, don't build me up like that. No. I'm gonna fail spectacularly.
You're gonna get every single one of them. He's very knowledgeable in the area of horror movies. So let's see what happens. Maybe he'll get some right.
I can't check my phone because I got no charge, so I can't even turn it on right now.
Perfect. And that is why we're setting a 15-second timer.
Even I was like, in the quiz I wrote down, I was thinking 30 seconds apiece. I'm not going to be a dick.
30-second timer. It'll be fine. Billy Bones, could we get a 30-second timer on the clock, please?
This isn't KTRP. Billy Bones doesn't exist. He's only real when we're doing a radio show. Isn't that right, Billy?
He's real in my heart.
Dude. And just to be clear, these questions you're reading are actually from a physical trivia game.
Yes, I have a horror trivia game.
What's the exact name? You never told me the exact name.
It is literally called Horror Trivia.
Now, are any of these questions multiple choice?
Nope. Here's the question. Tell me what you think.
Time to humiliate myself.
And just as a little side game, since I told you the directions, I'll tell you when you win and you have three different symbols. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, sure.
I'll just set the cards aside and tell you, like, hey, you've already won. You know, two in a row.
I'm not going to remember any of this. I'm not going to remember what you're saying to me. I'm drunk. I don't know what the fuck you're saying.
You just answer the questions.
I'll just answer the, you're the one that's going to have to keep track of that shit. You're the quiz master.
All right. Horror trivia quiz. Here we go. Question number one. What 1978 horror comedy directed by Joe Dante is a parody of the movie Jaws?
Piranha.
Piranha is correct.
There's a great scene with Paul Bartel that part of the movie takes place at like a summer camp for kids, and Paul Bartel is this shitty camp counselor. He's a character you really don't like. And this is something that I've always found very endearing about the movie Piranha. It's a horror movie. The piranha are going to eat people. They're going to tear them apart. There's a sequence that a bunch of the kids at the summer camp are on the river, and the piranha attack. You know, some kids don't make it, unfortunately. And in any normal movie, if you introduce a character like Paul Bartel's camp counselor, he's not the counselor. He's the camp director, I guess. You introduce a character like that as a complete dick. Just a complete dick. He's going to run away like a coward when the carnage starts. He's going to run. This guy runs out into the water knowing full well that there is genuine danger in that water, that people are being killed by these piranha. He runs out to save as many kids as he can, and he survives, and he saves lives. The first time I saw Piranha, I was genuinely shocked in a very positive way. Wow.
Someone tried to do something right in this movie.
Yeah, the character who would, in any normal movie, would be the one, he would run for his life and he'd leave kids to die. No, but it turns out, like, he's a dick, but he also cares about the kids, and he tries to save as many as he can. That's fantastic. Fantastic writing. And you know why? Because John Sayles wrote that. He's a master of his craft. But that's an aside. That means nothing. Continue, Quizmaster.
What 2014 movie involves the story of two siblings battling a supernatural mirror?
Would it be Oculus?
It would indeed.
Great. Is that two? Right. 2 out of 20?
That's 2 for 2. There we go. So you got a crucifix card.
Oculus was pretty good.
Who was the director of Creepshow?
Well, George A. Romero. Directed Creepshow.
Obviously. What horror movie do we see Kevin Bacon impaled in his throat with
Friday
an arrow?
The 13th.
The original.
Yeah. Do you know the killer in the original Friday the 13th was, Kai?
Who?
No, I mean, do you know who the killer was? I'm asking you.
The actor?
Who was the killer in Friday the 13th? I don't give a shit about the actor. I'm talking about the character. Who killed people in Friday the 13th?
Freddy Krueger?
That's Nightmare on Elm Street.
Jason.
You said Jason?
Yeah,
you know,
Jason Voorhees, right?
You know that was the big reveal in the original Scream when Drew Barrymore answered the question wrong. It wasn't Jason in the original Friday the 13th. It was his mother.
Right.
It was Pamela Voorhees. That was always the big gotcha question in the original Scream. She's like, Jason killed us. I know, I saw that movie 100 times. He's like, no, it was Pamela Voorhees. I'm going to kill you. And he guts her. It's terrible. It's a terrible thing. If this were Scream, you'd be dead right now.
But it's not. And you're 4 for 4 on portrait. And now you have a machete card.
You know, played Jason the original Friday the 13th in that scene at the end when in the dream sequence when the little boy Jason jumps out of the water. Ari Lehman, and you know the thing is, he's only in that one scene. He's on screen for like maybe 8 seconds. He parlayed that into a career of sorts. He shows up at every horror convention you can imagine, crediting himself as the original Jason. He'll sign all sorts of autographs for it. He doesn't care. And on top of that, he formed a band called First Jason.
First Jason.
Look, I'm not gonna say it's pathetic because, you know what, fuck it. If he can make money doing that, good for him. Honestly, he seems like a cool dude. Ari Lehman. People will go to horror conventions and pay him money for an autograph.
Right.
I'm not saying anything derogatory to Ari Lehman. He seems like a cool guy. And if I found myself in a situation where I were on screen for seconds in a classic horror movie and I could make money off of that, oh, fuck yes, I would. In a heartbeat. You kidding me?
My hard work is dealing with annoying people that are paying me. An 18-year-old has to deal with that at McDonald's every day, too.
No, let's be real, though. How annoying is it if they're at this convention basically to stroke your
ego?
But
they're there to see you. They're not annoyed that you fucked up their cheeseburger order.
That's flattering.
Yeah.
You were on screen for 8 seconds, and you were very memorable, and I loved it. It was a big jump scare. It was fantastic. Oh, yeah, I'll sign your tits. I don't care. Absolutely, man. Okay, I'm sorry. Keep going.
All right.
So I got a machete and a knife, okay?
You got a machete and a crucifix. Which Carrie star is also in the original 1978 Halloween film? Which Carrie star also plays Linda in the original 1978 Halloween film?
Linda's played by... PJ Souls. PJ Souls is such a bitch in the original carry.
PJ Souls is correct.
She's a very memorable villain. A great contrast with her role as Linda in Halloween. You know what the funny thing about her character name? Her last name, Vanderclock. In Halloween, Linda Vanderclock. Very memorable name. There is a Linda Vanderclock action figure courtesy of Fright Rags.
What 2017 Netflix film involves a boy who accidentally witnesses a cult ritual in his house and has to survive the night?
A cult ritual and has to survive the night. A 2017 Netflix film. There is a movie I know from Netflix. There's a movie called The Babysitter that Nick G directed. I did not watch it, so obviously I have no idea. Was that it? I probably wasn't.
It is indeed The Babysitter.
Was it The Babysitter? God damn. All right.
You have a fire axe.
Wait, was that six questions? Damn.
Technically, you already won the game. Because you have three different symbols.
I saw the trailer for The Babysitter, you know, because Mick G directed like the Charlie's Angels movies. They're very frenetic, a lot of quick cuts, a lot of fast action. And I could tell watching that trailer, I'm like, man, this is the same dude. I have no problems with the Charlie's Angels movies. We saw both of them in theaters. They're okay.
Yeah.
But there's a difference between a theatrical experience and then, oh, you're at home. You can watch whatever you want. I'm not necessarily going to go out of my way to watch The Babysitter. Now, look, I think they made a sequel. I don't know if they did or not. I think they made it. I never watched it. I saw the trailer. And that's enough. That's enough.
What horror movie was based on a book written by Jay Anson? And there was also a 2005 remake starring Ryan Reynolds and Melissa George.
That's the Amityville Horror.
Yeah. I'm gonna slightly edit this one because you're still going to get it. What popular horror movie cover features a toilet?
Is it Ghoulies?
It's got to be Ghoulies. I threw that one in for nostalgia because I knew you'd but it's got to be fucking Ghoulies.
Do you remember the tagline for Ghoulies?
It was something fucking stupid.
They'll get you in the end.
They'll get you in the end, and he's in a toilet. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What Cyndi Lauper song was featured in Night of the Comet when they are dancing in the mall?
Is it Girls? I'm going to say Girls Just Want to Have Fun. I don't know.
It's correct.
Wait, that was it?
Yeah.
You said popular.
She had a couple popular songs, but
I'm trying to think of, because I love Night of the Comet, but I do not remember a Cyndi Lauper song in that movie. I really don't.
They were dancing in the mall.
That's it.
That's all it says, dancing in the mall.
That's during like a montage, yeah.
You're about to get double chainsaws right now. Question number 10. What is the name, not just the nickname, but the dude's name of the serial killer in Saw?
Oh, it's John Kramer. Jigsaw is John Kramer.
And his nickname was Jigsaw.
I saw Saw X or Saw 10, whatever, by the way.
Oh, great. Did you see the new one? Is it
good? It's like a real fucking movie.
The first Saw movie that's like a real movie is the 10th one.
It's about John Kramer. It's his movie.
Yeah.
It takes place between Saw 1 and Saw 2. Someone approaches them saying, basically, I found the miracle cure. And it's only available in Mexico because in America, there are too many laws against experimental treatments. And so he goes to Mexico to undergo this treatment because at this point, he's desperate. He has cancer. They said it was terminal. He's trying to save his own life. He learns later on this treatment was a complete scam. Not only have they scammed him, they've scammed other people. In this case, the whole movie focuses on John Kramer as a character. This is the first time John Kramer is the main character. He's the protagonist. Not only that, but his rage targeting these people who scammed him, knowing full well that they didn't just scam him, they've scammed other people. It's completely justified. There's none of that moral ambiguity that you would have in other Saw movies where, oh, maybe they did something bad. But no, these people are complete fucking scum. And they all get what's coming to them. And then, you know, the cool part of it, and this is a spoiler alert for anybody who hasn't watched this movie, the character who tells John Kramer about the treatment, who is also in these cancer self-help groups, played by Michael Beach, good actor on his own, during the movie itself, he doesn't get his comeuppance. So by the time the credits start rolling, you're thinking, wait, that motherfucker got away. What happened? Why would John Kramer let him go? He doesn't let him go because there's a mid-credits sequence that shows that guy, Michael Beach, getting his comeuppance, and guess who the fuck shows up to help John Kramer exact vengeance on this guy? Fucking Hoffman. Goddamn Costas Mandalore shows up. This is how they meet. Costas Mandalore pops up as Hoffman during the mid-credits sequence for Saw 10 to help Jigsaw kill Michael Beach. It's glorious. Saw 10, it's at least the second best Saw movie. Tobin Bell was 79 when they made this movie. He looks so fucking old, but it's great, and he's great in it. Shawnee Smith comes back as Amanda. She's a true believer. She doesn't have the crisis of faith she has in Saw 3 when everything falls apart. I would love to see another movie follow this up directly. I wish they could just spin this off into its own series and say, no, this is just a parallel version of the Saw saga where John Kramer doesn't die. So keep going. You'd love it. Funny. It's so good. Saw 10, and it's fucking good. Watch it with the whole family.
Yeah, that was question 10. Saw 10 ends up being one of the best.
Saw 10 might be number one, because Saw 6 was my favorite, and Saw 10 might be it.
All right. Question number 11 in horror trivia versus Dustin. In Halloween 4, what is Jamie's relation to Michael?
Laurie Strode is his brother, and Jamie Lloyd is Laurie Strode's daughter, which means Michael Myers is her uncle.
Indeed.
Uncle? She says, uncle? And then, and he takes off his mask and he cries a little bit because he's like, I gotta kill you, but you're adorable. Yeah. I mean, I know people hate the family connection. John Carpenter was pissed. He's like, I was drunk as fuck. I had to figure out something to do for Halloween 2. So I got hammered. I wrote that shit and I fucking regretted it ever since. Halloween 4, it works great. The family connection works because that's a direct sequel to Halloween 2.
Makes shit weird for the rest of it.
Halloween 4 ends with Jamie Lloyd. Michael Myers is dead. They killed the shit out of him. They redo the opening of Halloween 1 where point of view through the mask, and the original Michael Myers killed his sister. And then they do this right at the end of Halloween 4. Someone puts on the mask, you've seen the point of view. They kill Jamie Lloyd's, I don't know if it's foster mother or her adopted mother. She's standing at the top of the stairs wearing the mask and holding a pair of scissors because she just stabbed her foster mother to death. Loomis is at the landing of the stairs looking up at her. He's having flashbacks. This is PTSD for him. He looks up and sees Jamie Lloyd holding these scissors with this dead expression on her face, holding bloody scissors with a dead expression on her face. And he pulls out his gun and starts screaming, no, no, he's going to blow this 8-year-old girl away. It's Michael Myers all over again. The apple does not fall far from the tree. He's stopped by the sheriff from blowing this little girl away. Man, he was going to do it. He was going to fucking murder this little girl. Of course, Halloween 5 says, no, we can't have it like a 10-year-old girl be a murderer. So they
right.
So Michael Myers has to come back. If you just think of like Halloween 1, Halloween 2, then watch Halloween 4, it's a perfect closed loop. That is, it's great. And they had to fuck it up by making more sequels because it was a hit. But these days, because everybody's always doing reboots and trying to find new continuity, you know what? Danielle Harris, she's still in great shape. She's middle aged, but she looks great. You could follow up on Halloween 4 with a new sequel and have Jamie Lloyd be the killer. Why not? You could do it. Do something different. The shape could be a 4'11" middle aged woman because she is short, petite. Right. She could fit in your pocket, Kai.
Ooh. Question number 12. What actress plays Elizabeth in the 1980 version of The Fog?
Elizabeth? You're just giving me a name. I love The Fog, but what actress plays Elizabeth? Look, I know Jamie Lee Curtis is the female lead technically in The Fog. Is her name Elizabeth? I guess I'll find out. Is that it?
Her name is in fact Elizabeth.
I love The Fog. I think it's great. And Jamie Lee Curtis is the hitchhiker that gets picked up by Tom Atkins.
Her name's Elizabeth. Okay.
I didn't know her name.
I'm learning this right now.
But I'm thinking there are two prominent female characters in The Fog. There's Jamie Lee Curtis and there's Adrienne Barbeau. Adrienne Barbeau plays Stevie Wayne. I know Stevie Wayne. Okay, great. That's fantastic.
This is actually the only card you don't have is a crossbow card. So this is for all the fucking marbles to collect all the weapons. Okay. What 2008 vampire movie was filmed and set in Sweden?
A Swedish 2008 vampire movie. 2008. What the fuck happened in 2008? I know it's great. It's Let the Right One In.
It is. Yeah, let the right one in.
I would have felt like the worst person in the world if I didn't get that right.
I was about to call the timer on that.
Oh my fucking god!
Maybe he doesn't know.
That is one of the best vampire movies ever made, based on a great vampire novel. It's a masterpiece. Oh god, I'm sorry. My heart skipped like 17 beats. How the fuck was I not going to get that right?
Who is the actress that portrayed Claudia in Interview with the Vampire?
It's Kirsten Dunst. I know that.
Indeed.
Fuck yeah.
All right, the next question is...
Is this 14 or 15? What is this? What are we on?
What is the location where the survivors take refuge in Dawn of the Dead? The specific name.
Specifically, it's the Monroe... It's in Monroeville. It's a shopping mall.
The Monroeville Mall.
Yeah, it's a Monroeville shopping mall.
Indeed.
I mean, it is. You could just say a shopping mall, but it is in Monroeville.
Right. I could have told you it was a mall, but I couldn't have told you it was the Monroeville Mall.
People still make regular pilgrimages to the Monroeville Mall to pay tribute. And there is actually a bust of George A. Romero in the mall now.
That's cool. The second crucifix card. How does the female doll murder her victims in the Puppet Master series?
Oh, leeches.
With leeches.
She spits out leeches. One of them shoots guns. One of them has blades that you can cut you up with. One of them has like a drill head. The other one like spits leeches. Oh, okay. A little different.
Spits some weird shit that wriggles at you.
They're magic leeches.
That was another cool thing I liked about the strain. Like you were saying, without giving the ending away, like there's a weird scientific like thing about it. There's a weird parasite that's actually spreading it. Crawls into your fucking skin. But
yeah, but it's not just a parasite, Kai. Have you gotten that weirder. Point? I'm not going to spoil it, but do you know what the source of the parasite is?
Not yet. Satrakian just read the fucking occult book. It's Sotheby's before the auction.
The Obsidian Lumen.
I haven't quite got to the part yet.
I know I spelled it for like a decade ago, but I won't say it again. It goes in some weird directions, those books. I love it.
Perfect. What 2010 psychological horror film contains a sun that astral projects into the further?
Insidious. Well, you said the further. That gives it away. The further is what they call the supernatural realm in Insidious. They just released Insidious the Red Door, the fifth of this series, which actually picks up with the same family from Insidious 1 and 2. Patrick Wilson, the father character, actually directed the movie. I haven't watched it. I've watched the first four, so I imagine it is inevitable that I will watch Insidious the Red Door. I got high hopes. Well, I'll say middling. I got middling hopes. For Insidious the Red Door.
I heard someone who I think it was a child or their friend say it, they thought it was cool.
Well, it's a perfectly good series. Yeah. They're decent. They don't have a lot of jump scares. There's really good atmosphere overall. I really have no complaints.
Kind of freaky.
They're a decent horror series. I'm glad that they've made it to five.
Who narrated the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre as well as the remake and prequel?
It's John Larroquette. It's Dan Fielding.
I saw that one. I was like, you know, shout out to John Larroquette, just because, fuck it. I know he'll know this one. I'm going to put that one in there anyway.
He's the best.
Yep.
You ever watch the John Larroquette? I mean, you can't watch it because it's not streaming anywhere, but the John Larroquette show was the best. Right after Night Court ended, NBC was like, hey, what do you want to do, John Larroquette? I want to make a show about recovering alcoholics, and I want to make it really fucking depressing. They insisted on calling it the John Larroquette show because they wanted the name recognition, but it's a very serious... It's technically a comedy. It's a half-hour comedy. It's about recovering alcoholics, and it's very good. It's a very well-made show for the first season, and then season two, they completely rebooted it and it's garbage and John Larroquette hated it. But that first season it's like lightning in a bottle. It's so well made. Never released on DVD, not streaming anywhere. It's a fucking crime. The John Larroquette show deserves to be remembered. That's just some weird like editorializing I'm doing right now. I'm sorry. But yeah, I watched that when I was a kid, right after Night Court ended. I'm not an alcoholic, but I knew an alcoholic. I still do. He's not dead yet. I'm like, man, I wish he would be in recovery right now. He was in recovery because he had to, because it was court mandated. And as soon as that shit ran out, he was like, guess what? I'm going to the bar, kids.
Bye.
As soon as he was able to legally get his guns back, he was like, oh, wait, my guns are back? Well, guess what? I'm stopping by the liquor store on my way home from work, kids. And yeah, fuck him. Fuck that piece of shit. Whatever. It's fine. Whatever. Next question. Let's
Anyways, we got two more questions. To win the game and go 20 for 20, 19 of 20, Buster Keaton's granddaughter starred in what controversial 1978 graphic revenge flick that was later remade in 2010?
1978 graphic revenge flick. I'm thinking I Spit on Your Grave.
That is indeed I Spit on Your Grave. And the final question, what Spanish found footage film centers on a reporter and her cameraman trapped in a building whose occupants show animalistic
REC
murderous behavior? It's Wreck.
What was it? Quarantine. Remade as Quarantine. Not a very good movie. Wreck is great. I made like four of those movies. Do you want to go to 25?
I was going to say, how about this? I'll pull some and I'll just do a quick rapid reading. I'll pull three cards and I'll just ask you the questions and you just answer them real quick. What 1982 film directed by Wes Craven centers around a scientist who is transformed into a plant-based monstrous creature?
Swamp Thing. I love Swamp Thing.
What is the movie poster tagline for 1985's House? That's actually probably the hardest question I've asked you all night.
No, I know this. I'm thinking, I got the poster in my brain, and it's a hand pushing a doorbell. Horror has found a new home. That's like the tagline. Yeah.
It is Ding Dong, You're Dead. Ding Dong, period.
Oh my God. Dead. You know, I'm going to look this up because I'm going to look this up. I just want to be sure. I wanted to make sure. IMDb, hang on. No, yeah. It says, you are cordially invited to spend an evening with Roger Cobb and his friends. Don't come alone. House. Horror has found a new home. Oh, there's the fucking poster right here. It says, Ding Dong, You're Dead. Fuck you. The literally the first picture on IMDb. Horror has found a new home. God damn it. I was right. I was somehow right and wrong.
Yeah.
Ding Dong, You're Dead. Horror has found a new home. That's like half wrong at worst. I got yeah. Horror has found a new home. That is on the fucking poster.
Indeed.
But right. Ding Dong, You're Dead is also there.
It's also one of them. It's all good. Moving on to the next one. What does the green liquid contain in the 1987 film Prince of Darkness?
It's not the devil, but it's the devil. It's either the devil or it's the son of the devil.
It's his essence.
It's his essence, yeah. It's the devil.
Essence of Satan.
Prince of Darkness is nuts. I love that fucking movie. The creatures, when it possesses people, they call out, they say, Father. And like, there's a creature on the other side of a mirror that they're trying to reach. That is the actual devil that they're trying to bring through. It's a whole thing. Never mind. Whatever.
An investigator ends up on a Scottish island where the inhabitants have an unhealthy obsession with sexuality in this 1973 film.
I would say it's The Wicker Man.
Indeed. The Wicker Man. What is the name of the docile and domesticated zombie in Day of the Dead?
Bob. It's Bob. Say hello to your Aunt Alicia.
What actor stars in the 1999 film Stir of Echoes?
What actor? There's like dozens of actors. Are you talking about Kevin Bacon? Is it Kevin Bacon?
Yeah.
The lead actor?
Yeah, it's Kevin.
That's helpful. What actor?
The other part says, in which a man sees a vision after being hypnotized, but that doesn't help you know which actor.
Oh, no, because he's the one who sees the vision after being hypnotized. That's him. That would help.
Oh,
because of Catherine Irby, like she's in Stir of Echoes. She plays his wife.
She was a star. Yeah, in it. What 1970s pop music icon starred as Nikki in Videodrome?
Oh, that's Debbie Harry, baby.
Oh, that's Debbie Harry. Yeah,
she's talking to James Woods at the end. She's like, "Don't be afraid to let your body die." Oh man, Videodrome is a masterpiece. I'm just thinking about the end. He's holding that fucking cancer gun to his temple at the end. He's long with the new flesh before he blows his brains out. He's just been brainwashed by Videodrome, basically to commit an assassination. That's his job. He's been programmed. Yeah. Oh, during the Vinegar Syndrome sale, the Black Friday sale, one of their surprise titles was Existenz, the David Cronenberg film.
Ooh.
That was a surprise 4K release. I couldn't fucking believe it. I love Existenz. It comes in a slipcase. Human flesh textured. The slipcase is human flesh textured. Beautiful. How the fuck do they know? No. They've done tests. You're dead.
What movie's tagline was, just when you thought it was safe to go back in the water?
It's either Jaws or Jaws 2, right? Is it Jaws 2?
Which one is it? It's Jaws 2, yeah.
It has to be Jaws 2 because that's the one just when you thought it was safe to go back in the water. God, fuck, I ain't going back in the water. Fuck you, Jaws 2. It's never safe.
What 2008 French horror movie involved the flaying of the main character in order to allow her to reach a state of transcendence?
It's Martyrs. It's one of the best fucking examples of the French extreme horror movement.
Indeed, Martyrs.
There's such a great moment in Martyrs because it's about a group of religious zealots who torture people because they're trying to get them to reach a truly transcendent state when they can basically touch God. That's what they're doing to people. They're trying to prove the existence of God. And so they torture these poor people to such an extreme where they feel that they basically leave their body and actually touch the divine. One of the characters in the film, she's the leader of this movement. She has a conversation, a short conversation, with someone who survived one of these harrowing experiences. She whispers something in the woman's ear. You don't hear what she says, but it shakes her. She's profoundly affected by it. And her driver, her valet, is a non-believer. And she looks at him and she asks him a question. Do you believe in God? And he says, no. And she says, keep it that way, basically. And then she blows her brains out. That's how the movie ends. Because she's just learned something horrifying and profound from this young woman. She wants to take this to her grave. Whatever she just learned, she wants to die with it. So she kills herself before she can tell anyone. And it is so fucking disturbing. It's a very hard film to watch. It's about torturing people until they have a religious experience. Someone has that experience and shares it. And the person who hears the confession can't take it. It drives her to suicide. That's horror right there. That's true horror.
You do it to yourself.
You got what you wanted. It turns out maybe you didn't want it so much in the end. Beautiful.
And the other half of this card, what 2005 movie contains elements of both the supernatural and courtroom drama?
Is it The Exorcism of Emily Rose?
Indeed.
That's what that movie is. It's a supernatural courtroom drama.
It's a supernatural courtroom drama.
Not bad. Jennifer Carpenter's Emily Rose. She does a good job in the movie. It's based on a real case, but when you say based on a true story, you use like 1,000 quote marks with stuff like this because it's not really based. Someone heard a story. Well, no, there was a
true story. True story.
There was a trial because someone died during an exorcism, and so that's basically what this is. It's based on that. Based. Was that all right.
I'm just going to keep going. Who are the only two actors to have faced off against an alien, a Terminator, and a Predator?
An alien, a Terminator, and a Predator. Okay, so we have, Bill Paxton is one of them.
Indeed, Bill Paxton is one of them.
And there are two actors. Well, I know Jeanette Goldstein was in Terminator 2 and in Aliens, but I don't think she was in a Predator movie. This is, I know this. It's not Michael Biehn. I'm thinking, okay, Lance Henriksen was in Aliens. He was in Terminator. Oh, Aliens versus Predator. It was Lance Henriksen because he played Waylon in Aliens versus Predator.
It was indeed Lance Henriksen.
That was a tough one for me. But yeah. I keep forgetting Alien versus Predator exists.
Yeah, exactly. This 2001 film involves a religious fanatical father taking his two sons on a divine mission to kill demons.
Oh, that's Frailty. It's a masterpiece. Bill Paxton directed it. It's great. That's where Otis came from. Remember Otis? We have the axe with the word Otis written on it. Otis. That's Otis. That's where Otis came from. I love that the twist was that, no, he was right. Bill Paxton was right. They were demons. They were doing God's work in that movie. Frailty. Oh, man. I got to watch that again. That I don't even know if that's streaming anywhere. What a good movie.
What type of animal terrorizes Jennifer Connelly in Dario Argento's Phenomenon?
Dario Argento's Phenomenon?
Dario Argentus.
What animal? Was it a chimp?
Chimpanzee with a straight razor.
Yeah, that was that. That was like right before Labyrinth, I think. Or maybe right after.
In the 1979 film Tourist Trap, a group of friends are trapped where? It says in what type of establishment?
It's full of like fucking mannequins and shit. The main character has telepathy. He uses telepathy to bring mannequins and shit to life. Like, you want a specific name for what the place is?
What type of establishment would you call it?
Well, I think it was a museum. Was it a museum?
Yeah, it says a museum, but that's kind of a weird, weird, vague question.
It's a tourist trap. It's like a roadside museum.
What room number is also the title of this movie, A Paranormal Hotspot, in this 2007 film starring John Cusack? Room number and the title.
Oh, it's the Stephen King story. It's a good movie. It's 1408, right? It's 1408?
It's 1408, yeah. What was the name of Buffalo Bill's dog?
I want to say Precious, but I don't know.
It was indeed.
Was it Precious? Okay.
What actress plays a psychotherapist who enters the mind of a comatose killer in the cell?
Jennifer Lopez.
Obviously.
I know that one.
So some of them are this easy. What is the name of the sequel to Alien?
Oh, come the fuck on. Aliens?
Yes. Hence why I vetted some of these beforehand. And why when you're like, well, was it on the same card? I was like, yeah, it's on the same card. It was not on the same card because some of the questions are that easy. Which film in the Alien series is set in Antarctica?
Alien versus Predator. That's the one that has Lance Henriksen in it.
What item is this killer famous for wearing in the 76 film Alice, Sweet Alice?
What item?
What item is the killer famous for wearing in the 1976 film Alice, Sweet Alice? It says item, but it's actually items. Excuse me, items.
They wore like the yellow raincoat and like one of those see-through masks, like those transparent masks.
Yellow raincoat and a translucent mask.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
But that's also shit. it's very vague also. It's a yellow raincoat.
Yeah, it's like a cartoon yellow raincoat. I had one of those masks because I wore it when I played the character Ladyface in the fucking seismologist photoplay. I was Ladyface. Yeah. That's what the mask I was wearing, basically. Fantastic.
Only one that you, according to the card, answered wrong, but is also correct. Because you read the whole fucking thing.
Hey, is on the fucking poster for House.
Right, exactly. There's a caveat on that. Because like you said, you're like, there was a bunch of writing. I don't fucking know. Was it this? No, it was the other.
Ding Dong, You're Dead is the one. The painting on the poster of House is like a disembodied hand, like a zombie hand, pushing a doorbell. So of course it would say Ding Dong, You're Dead. You're right. That's on me. But to be fair, that was after the official questions
that
were
was,
done.
Yeah,
I got 20 questions right.
Yeah.
Ask me another question. Ask me another horror question.
Vincent Price starred in this 59 ghostly classic.
59 ghostly classic? Is it House on Haunted Hill?
It is. There's more to it. It's like he invited 5 people to survive the night.
There are no actual ghosts in House on Haunted Hill, so it's kind of a trick. All the death, all the murder is of human design. And the OG, the remake, no, there are fucking ghosts.
What big cat does Malcolm McDowell turn into in 1982's Cat People?
Is it a panther?
Yeah. What is the name of the biological weapon used to kill people through their water supply in The Crazies?
Trixie. You can't trick me with The Crazies. That's one of my favorite movies. That's a lesser Romero. Fuck you. The scientist character in that movie finds a cure for Trixie and tries to get the military. He's like, hey, guys, I know the cure. He ends up getting killed. They let him die. And this shit spreads at the end of the movie. So it's going to become a national problem. They had the cure. Stupid fucking military let the scientists who found the cure die. Great movie, man.
What 1990 movie featured Julia Roberts and Kiefer Sutherland?
It's Flatliners.
Obviously, there's more to it, but I knew I didn't need to read it. What state does the Troma Empire film...
New Jersey.
...take place? Yeah. Who's the main star of Shaun of the Dead?
Simon Pegg.
Kate Bosworth and Thomas Jane star in this 2016 supernatural film. Their son's nightmares become reality. This is the other movie in this whole stack that you haven't seen? Or that was so shitty you forgot about?
There are two movies I could think of. Was it Before I Wake?
Before I Wake.
It was Before I Wake? Okay. It was Before I Wake or The Veil. I didn't see either one of them. So that was a complete fucking guess on my part. But you said Dream, so they... Before
I Wake, I know the title.
But the other one's called The Veil. So like the veil between sleep and awake. Yeah. So
what was the name of Herschel Gordon Lewis's debut film?
His debut film? That's a trick, because he made porn.
He made porn before.
I don't know how to answer that question.
What's the earliest one you know?
His earliest directorial effort. The earliest movie that anyone probably knows him for is Blood Feast. But he made softcore movies before that. I know one of them was called Daughter of the Sun. There's one called Venus, or like Lucky Venus, or Living Venus.
It is in fact Living Venus.
Was that it? Okay.
That's what it says.
Blood Feast is the first movie anyone knows him from. Yeah. But he made softcore porn before that. They were kind of like that. They wrote this line between like pornography and educational films so they could be shown in theaters at the time. So Living Venus was the first feature.
That's what it says.
Okay.
Machines come to life and become homicidal after a comet causes a radiation storm in this 1986...
Stephen King's directorial debut. After that, he was like, you know what? This shit's too hard. I ain't doing this again.
What genetically created mutant breed of insect tries to destroy mankind in mimic.
Well, it's the Judas breed, but they don't try to destroy mankind. They don't get that far. They barely get out of the subway. A virus was killing children. It was being spread through cockroaches. So Mira Sorvino had to create a specially modified version of the cockroach she called the Judas breed that would kill these cockroaches. Because they were genetically modified, they mutated. They began to mimic human beings. They call them the Judas breed, but they're a kind of cockroach.
It's cockroach. What 1990 film featured Lou Diamond and Ben Phillips trying to bring Pentagram Killer to justice?
Is it The First Power?
The First Power.
I was thinking The First or The Fifth Power. No, it's The First Power.
It's one of these powers. I'm not sure.
It's one of those powers.
Who plays the main character Susie Banyan in the Suspiria remake?
It's Jessica Harper.
The 2018 remake.
Oh, the remake is, what's her name, Dakota Johnson?
Yeah, Dakota Johnson.
She's Don Johnson's daughter, directed by Luca Guadagnino. I saw that movie in a theater. Two other people in that theater. It was the middle of winter. It was so fucking cold. The heater was broken in the theater. So I was wearing my coat the whole time. I love that movie. It's a completely different animal from the original, from the Argento film. I love it.
Which Friday the 13th film did Jason get his hockey mask?
Well, part three.
Indeed.
Because he's wearing a burlap sack in part two. He's looking at a mountain man.
And his mom did the murdering in the first one.
As we all know.
As we just recalled. This 1954 film features a prehistoric gill man who kidnaps a scientist named Kay and falls in love with her.
Creature from the Black Lagoon?
Yeah.
That's the saddest fucking movie you think about it. What did the gill man do? He lived in
a beautiful pond in this gorgeous jungle.
He was just living his life. These random people come along in a boat.
Fucking white people show up.
And then some random lady starts swimming in his water, and he has no idea how to process the feelings he's feeling. Because he's a gill man. He's a fish creature. But he sees this beautiful human woman swimming. He doesn't know how to process his feelings. So he's just trying to show her that he loves her by kidnapping her. Because he doesn't know any other way. And the humans come along and shoot him and fucking kill him. He just has a really bad week.
This is weird boat. What the fuck's going on? Ah! And then he runs away. And then they fucking track him down and kill him.
It's a nightmare. It's a nightmare for that poor guy. They come at his turf and fuck his life up.
And these motherfuckers came over here. You can't fucking exist.
He kidnapped our human girlfriend. We gotta go kill this motherfucker. Now, to be fair, she was not into him at all. So she did not want whatever he was selling. Look, he's a fish monster. He doesn't know. He doesn't understand consent. This isn't a Revenge of the Nerds scenario, okay? I'm not trying to I'm not making fucking excuses for Lewis Skolnick. Like, that motherfucker knew what he was doing. He should be in jail. The Gill Man from Creature from the Black Lagoon, you can't judge him by human standards. He just saw a beautiful woman swimming in his lake, and he was like, I want a piece of that. I'm gonna take it. What's the Gill Man supposed to do? I'm gonna cut all this out. I'm gonna cut this whole thing out. Because this is bad.
But you can send us an email or whatever, or not.
Hey, if you want to take part, if you want us to quiz you, or you want to quiz us, that's even better. People still send comments to blogs. They do it to us. Trapleshow.blogspot.com. Leave us a dozen questions. Half a dozen.
Baker's dozen.
Go hog wild with Baker's dozen questions. And look, they can be horror, science fiction, architecture. I don't give a shit. Whatever your passion is, share it with us on Trapo. Hey, did you listen to a cool album? We do want to know about that.
We want to know.
Write that down in a comment on the blog, and we'll read it eventually. Maybe
we'll think about it.
You got an email address too. Somebody sent us an email. We still have not addressed that email.
So sorry, Meryl.
But we will. Better. It's all very depressing. Look, there's some guy who wrote us an email in October, but apparently it's like a real email with words. Some guy named Meryl Teller wrote us an email. He's not Meryl Teller. That guy is not writing us emails. Because I grew up watching his shit. I'm like, I'm a big fan, sir. But yeah, we have an email address. Kai, he's going to tell you all about it.
Traposhow@gmail.com. Send us an email about anything.
I feel like we need to start just responding to the emails anyway. If someone does send us an email, they need to know that we're not ignoring them. So we got the email. We got the blog. We're on Instagram. We're on Blue Sky, even though I don't really update on Blue Sky because it's just a really... It's just like a bunch of cool kids having interesting conversations, and I have nothing to add. Trapo lurks on Blue Sky. So if you want to follow Trapo while we lurk on Blue Sky, go right ahead. Somebody just did like yesterday. We don't comment on Blue Sky. We comment on Instagram and Threads more than anything. Threads more than anything right now. Follow us on all that social media bullshit you love so much. And if you're not, otherwise, we'll be back eventually with a new episode for your listening enjoyment. Until next time, dear friends. Get the fuck off the internet. Fantastic. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Trapo. We're talking about fermenting camel humps tonight. It was a very special episode.